This is KM on the FM.
What's going on? What are you doing, Gregor? Tanya Dahaskigo, then on Zewa Dahusa Dutch, Ungahuwa, and Hadiwa Nodus, Nene Aboriginal Voices, Oscar Dewa Nyawar Oscar, Ne Jota FM, CFRC.
It is 6 o'clock, and you are tuned to CFRC 101.9 FM. We're broadcasting from Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. Ani Nichkiwink, Doug Farquhar, Indigenous. Minwa, Sean Story, Esna Minwa, and Shnabi Nawewin. Sean, it's gorgeous summer day, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess.
Oh, well, no, this is going to be one of those summers where you're going to go up and down. Little rain one day.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, it's going to be like hot and then like
cool
freezing
off. Yeah.
The next day.
Well, that's all right.
Maybe within the same day.
Yeah, but at least we're not getting the kind of weather that Europe is getting right in the last 2 weeks. 30, 38, 37 degree temperatures, and then a prediction of, you know, somebody said 40 or 41. Those are too hot days. And so we're doing fine where we are. I'm just wondering, do you get out and walk and hike
not as much.
Yeah, but it's sunny all day long.
I'm sure it is, but not as much, Doug.
No, okay.
I'd pole walking on Mondays.
Oh, is that right?
Well.
So do you have two poles or one?
What do you mean two poles? Why wouldn't you have two poles? I've got two hands.
Oh, okay. Well, when I hike, I take one walking stick, so I call that a pole.
Of course you do, Douglas.
Yeah.
Because you're professional.
You're a professional walker. Well, a lifelong walker.
Stick.
How's that?
I can do it with one stick.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't need two.
Do you know what? Two sticks don't help me. The one acts.
I don't think they're supposed to help you.
I have to get up and after falling, I need to have something to lean on. Two hands on one stick.
Mm-hmm.
And if I leave one behind, I have to bend over and pick it up.
Yeah. I believe the idea for the poles is that it's getting your arms moving from your shoulder and thereby, I don't know, more cardiovascular stuff.
So you're swinging your arms forward and then back.
I think that's the idea. Uh-huh. I don't know. I was sort of told that I was going to do this. I don't want to say sort of told. I was asked.
Okay.
And I said, well.
And then you
all
were,
right.
Then you were since, told.
Yeah. Since I was. Since things changed with the walking club, so I can do that on Monday. So, anyways, enough about me, Doug.
No, that's good because it's important for our listeners
to know.
We'll
change the subject, Doug.
Well, okay, go ahead.
So walking is fine, and I hope that everyone out there does it, you know, as a pastime, as a reason to get to point A to point B, all of that. Okay. All done now.
Good. Yeah. I was just thinking about that because as you're talking about walking is good, it is important in the communities, you know, for everybody to get out and do it, whether it's for cardiovascular or basically I do it because I can get out and enjoy the changes in the surroundings, you know. Depends on whether it's the springtime, we saw different spring flowers, and now that we've hit summertime, there are now the flowers that come out, or the plants that come out and flower late July, early August, and then in September you keep going with your hikes and your walks, that you'll see different types of plants. So yeah. That, and then my favorite is walking in the winter. You know that, but anyway.
Of course.
It makes a big change.
Let's get back to that.
Yeah, I can't wait.
I like walking in the winter.
Yeah. Anyway. Well, all right. I do. And you do, too. I know you.
Yeah. I do. Plus, if you know why, there's no bugs.
It's what I was just going to say.
There's no bugs. There's no, animals of any...
Mm.
Well, you know, particular animals.
Yeah.
And you can just, go out there and enjoy yourself. But once spring comes along, bugs.
Mm-hmm.
And animals. Anyways.
I just want to mention that today we're going to do on the show, we're going to talk a little bit about a summer project that's not outdoors necessarily, but could be. Or on the beach, where you go to the beach and you do something like reading. Well, we had a listener send in a few, a list of authors that recommended for us to look at. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit as part of the first hour. But it's going to be interesting because... when I started looking at the bios and sort of a little bit about these books, I thought, oh, okay, I better read one or two of them that we're suggesting to others to read. So mm-hmm. I had had a chance to look at some of them and started. I took two out of my local library. The public libraries are really great because if they don't have a book when I go in and ask about it, next thing you know, they call and say, 2 or 3 weeks later, hey, we have a book for you here to come and borrow. Yeah. So, that's really good. Plug for public libraries right across the country, okay?
Sure, a plug for them, Doug.
Yes,
you could just go and buy the book.
I could do that.
But you don't want to, do you?
No, not until I've read it. And then if I do, I then hand it to somebody else to read.
I don't know, Doug. That's not...
No, if I buy it, then...
The author's got to make money somehow.
Well, they do. The public library pays for it.
The library's keeping the author down.
No.
Yeah.
They're highlighting them.
Yeah, the author is like, I'm trying to make ends meet, but these libraries are making it hard for me.
Hmm. That's funny. I'm going to have to find out about that. I'm going to go out.
It's not like they pay the... okay, so we play music on our radio station here,
mm-hmm.
CFRC, and the guy who makes the CD, every time it's played, well, the guy gets a couple of bucks, right?
Okay.
Whatever that might be. I really don't know how SoCan works, but a guy writes a book.
Right.
Says, hey, listen, I wrote this book. Could somebody buy it, please?
Mm-hmm.
And there's Doug coming along. Oh, I'm going to read this book. And then he says, but I ain't going to buy it. I'm going to get it from the library. Well, the author ain't making anything.
Well, they actually do. Remember we had a programmer here at the station who did oldies and old songs from the 50s, 60s, and 70s. And he wrote several books. And I know two of them are in the public library and two of them in the CFRC library. And because it's in the library or in a radio station as a research material, he still, after all these years of publishing his book, still gets a royalty check from mm-hmm. SoCan. So
from SoCan.
So they do. They do. Why would he get it authors.
From SoCan? Well, because SoCan is for record.
No, I don't think so. I think it's for all arts.
No.
Okay. All right. But I don't know where he gets it. But he gets it from.
I think you're just making stuff up now.
No, I know the person. He told me about it.
Oh.
You know the person.
Who?
Rick.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, I'll find out for you, and we'll talk to the people later. the people at the libraries and find out. Then I'll ask a few. Oh my goodness, I know several authors named Rick. Anyway, I'll ask Rick. Okay. And one
sure
guy.
You can. Go ahead.
And we'll find out about it. But okay.
Them.
So what we're going to do is I've got some music for you, and we'll get it started right now. And when we come back, we will talk about some of the authors that were mentioned, and you and I will share a book each. Okay?
Sure.
We'll see you in a bit.
I won't let this fade now, but I'm racing time. Just to be with you, are you still around? I know we ain't afraid. Through all this breaking of the call, I find I will come back home. No matter what, I lose in myself, I know where to find it. I wanna feel good, want you to feel good too. I've been loving in that new city, I've been planting down roots. I've been taking days off to spend those days with you. I wanna feel good, I wanna feel good, and you know that I'll be back soon. Cross the tracks late at night.
One.
So, Doug.
Yes.
Welcome back to from our books.
So we're going back to our libraries, eh?
So we're your host, and today we're centering our focus on Indigenous voices that refuse to be silenced by history.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to look at four works that bridge a gap between ancestral knowledge and contemporary survival. Books that treat healing not as a destination, but as a practice.
Mm. That's good. You know, it's interesting because we're just going to do two authors that of the four that were sent to me. The first author is Quill Christine Dash Peters, and her book is, you know, she features in her book, it's called Reclaiming Our Bodies, Reclaiming Our Lives. And then the second person is Melissa Paulus Day, and you'll tell us about that in a minute. But let me just give you a quick rundown on Quill's book. And Quill is an Anishinaabe arts programmer and writer, and her work is deeply rooted in the land-based education and Anishinaabe aesthetics. And she focuses on how to create and process creatively using the tools for decolonization. That's going to be, that's a challenge, isn't it? That a lot of people have been talking about that. And this summer we're going to have more on the decolonization in for Indigenous peoples in reading and healthcare. But the book itself is called Reclaiming Our Bodies, Reclaiming Our Lives. And this basically talks about the intersection of Indigenous art and the reclamation of physical and spiritual autonomy. Challenge, good thoughts here. And it's a powerful look at how Indigenous women and Two-Spirit folks navigate healing through traditional practices. So, you know, that, and when I thought about it, I started reading the book, and I was thinking about going back to an interview that we did here on Aboriginal Voices with Dr. James Makokas. He came to Queens and he talked, and I had a chance to spend some time with him. And his whole work, he lives in west of Edmonton, and his whole work is with people from the 2SLGBTQ plus group, and he said that it's a changing focus for people, and Christy Peters is her book is started me thinking about that, but then she switched back and she did a lot with the art. And so gave me an insight into what an artist does in art and how that could bring a way to focus on traditional practices. So, you know, I look at art sometimes differently now because of that book. So anyway, so that's a neat book to get. You want to go buy it, Sean? Perfect.
No.
Reclaiming Our Bodies, Reclaiming Our Lives. And so it's a good one. Yeah, made me think a lot.
It's not for me, Doug.
Well, it's
not
just
interested.
The art part.
Yeah.
No. Okay. So who do you have?
I guess Melissa Paulus Day.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a member of the Oneida Nation of the TAMS. Paulus Day is an author and educator whose writing is deeply informed by her heritage. Her experience navigating the academic and creative worlds as an Indigenous woman. a bow is forged from ash is the book title.
Mm.
Yeah, I guess. I guess that's a moment. This work explores themes of resilience and transformation. Using the metaphor of a bow crafted from the remnants of a fire, the narrative follows the journey of healing from the intergenerational trauma and finding the strength to aim toward a self-determined future.
So, another one of those books to make you think and spend some time talking with others, I think.
I guess. A bow is forged from ash.
You like that?
I think I'll wait for the movie.
I have a couple of ash trees thick. Left. Maybe
sounds
I should.
Thick.
Oh, maybe. It should be good. I mean, I have a bow. I think not so much of a bow from ash as lacrosse sticks and basket material.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Do you have lacrosse sticks at your place?
What do you mean?
I have the old wooden lacrosse sticks.
I have three.
Oh, okay, good. So we could get a team together.
Wow.
Your three and my three, and I have a goalie stick too. Not that I want anybody to stand in the goal.
I don't think either one of us should go out there, Doug.
Oh, why not? Perfect out there.
I don't think so.
Yeah, the weather's just going to be perfect. Don't worry. We can sit and read books on the shore of the river.
Some of them young fellers out there playing the game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you should
go out there. Oh, no, okay. What?
I don't think we should go out there either.
I'll be downfield waiting for the ball to pass.
Oh, you're going to be waiting for that ball to be hurled at you at great speed?
Yes.
The velocity for which you will have to stop? just get out of the way.
Yeah.
Get out of the way of the net there.
So the hole in my webbing for my lacrosse stick has nothing to do with the insects or animals that were taking care of it. Because it's my lacrosse sticks are out in the garage, you see.
Did you leave it outdoors?
Oh, yeah.
You left it in the garage?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why?
Well, because it's environmentally better for the wood.
It should have a home inside.
No, because
like
they draw
your dog.
Oh.
Like your wife.
Well, my dog likes to be outside. You know that. You've met her.
Not all night.
No,
not all day.
No, that's true. Anyway, the lacrosse stick.
You treat it as if it's inanimate. It's not.
No, I know that. But it also doesn't want to get dried.
Not. You just leave it outside.
It does not want low humidity.
We'll just throw it over here in the corner, beside the oil.
No, not there.
Oil for the tractor.
It's over by the horse stall.
Maybe the hammer over here.
you're just having fun with me here. Oh, I can feel it. Yeah. Anyway, so I got a new music for you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. This is a brand new artist to me, but we'll find out. Solo.
Oh, good.
Father would lift me high and dance with my mother and me, and then spin me around till I fell asleep. Then up the stairs he would carry me, and I knew for sure I was loved. If I could another walk, another dance with him, I'd play a song that would never, never end. How I love, love, love to dance with my father my way. I would run from her to him.
just to comfort me, yeah. Then finally make me do just what my mama said. Later that night when I was asleep, he left a dollar under my sheet. Never dreamed that he would be gone from me. If I could get another chance, another walk, another dance with him, I'd play a song that would never, never end. How I love, love, love to dance with my father again.
Well, this is a fabulous place, Kristen. I am really happy to be here and have the doors open at your center and have you smiling, ready to talk about different things that we're doing for Aboriginal Voices here at CFRC. And being able to do these field trip activities is more fun than dragging you all the way into the station, especially now when there are no students around to, you know, interrupt us. Anyway, and there are no kids around right now. Everybody's at home, right? This is supper time. They're probably eating or getting ready to eat. But Kristen, I am going to turn over to you about your springtime challenge that you left everybody. And what do you want to know?
Well, I guess the question was about feeling and connection to nature. So it was a matter of getting outside and exploring and just pausing for a moment to sort of gauge how you're feeling. And I guess we've had quite a few people take up that challenge, so that's been interesting.
You heard Brody telling me all about his trip to Shagbark Forest and Trail, and that's in Ridgeway, Ontario, so that's at the other end of Lake Ontario, but it's on the almost on the north shore of Lake Erie. And
right.
So and he listened to you tell us the story about how do you feel, but he also had taken that further. And so people will have to go back into the archives here at Aboriginal Voices to listen to Brody's conversation. But he also instilled in his young brother, who's 3 years younger than he is, and they went on a trip into the Muskoka trails that we all have taken as several families getting together and go. And Brody and Cullen both came to me after the first trip. Oh, that trail, I still remember all the sounds of that water moving. And it was great because we had walked closer and closer to a waterfalls
right
on the Oxtongue River. But they remember the sound, and they couldn't repeat it, but they just remember what it sounded like and the excitement for them to go and watch the water tumble over the rocks.
Right.
So that's one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you tell me that sometimes you get people at your center here doing the same thing.
Yeah. We hosted a poetry retreat here on Sunday. And it was another lovely day, just like today, a gentle breeze and lots of sunshine and lots of greenery and different scents in the air. And so they went and explored different corners, and obviously they were trying to inspire their poems and learn about writing those. And a lot of it was based on feeling, you know, what did the each different spot that they visit make them feel, and how did that influence the words they chose for their poetry? And so I think this place specifically really inspires reflection and just gratefulness for nature. It's such a beautiful spot here.
And in fact, today while I was puttering around getting set up, I could watch the wind dance across the field.
Mm-hmm.
The grass is just moving everywhere, and not whirlwinds like, you know, tornado kind, but just dancing, and it makes everything feel calm.
That's right.
So yeah. Do you find that too when people come to the center, that things just sort of go into a calm feeling after a bit?
Yeah, I definitely think that, especially for myself when I'm quite often here working, so doing ground maintenance and doing improvements and adding additions, and I can't help but slow down my pace. You know, I load everything in the truck and I get really anxious about getting here and getting work done and accomplishing things. And once I'm here, that pace doesn't matter as much. I've really slowed down, really calmed down, and I just appreciate the beauty of the nature and how I'm feeling and just taking it all in. And I still get things accomplished, but you're just doing it at a more steady, calm, peaceful pace, you know, and just you're feeling that all the way inside. It's not just in your head, like, I should be calm, I should be relaxed. You actually are relaxed because you're immersing in this experience, right?
And you don't have any traffic that I can hear as we're here, even though I know there's a road just about half a kilometer away, but I don't hear it at all.
Mm-hmm.
So that helps, doesn't it?
Yes, and there's a little, you know, dirt road that goes past here, but not very much traffic, so you don't hear that. You don't hear the highway. And what's really important to me too is you don't see any power lines or hydro poles or buildings blocking your view. And I think that's part of what makes it special and calm. You really just see this natural environment.
So the question is, there are no power lines, so how do you power the light over the outhouse?
Well, I have a few lights here, and they're all solar powered, and they are motion sensored. So that was a good investment, I think.
That was one of the questions I heard from the kids a year or so ago, when you first got the building here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how are we gonna see anything if we're here late at night?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I have a couple of rechargeable lamps inside the little building here as well, so that helps. But also the doors open from each end of the building, so east and west, and then the south door. So when you get all of those doors open, you have a nice cool breeze through here and you get lots of sunshine.
Okay, so that was the follow-up to spring with your challenge then, about how does it make you feel, whether you're in the forest, near a lake, on a lake, near a river, even just walking in a park somewhere. It doesn't have to be out in the natural world far away. It could be in a park in a city, right?
Right.
So we're gonna hope people carry on with that. How does it make you feel? But what are some of the ideas that you could sort of give people for getting out with their families? Not vacation kind of ideas, but just one or two. What would you take, and what challenges would you have?
Well, I like to really connect your senses to nature. So, you know, sight, sound. We're going to skip taste, I think. Mm-hmm. but touch, scent, and I like to put movement in the place of taste because nature's always moving. So maybe it's paying attention to if you're moving over rocks, are you doing it slowly? Are you struggling? Or just maybe mimicking some of the movements you see in nature. So I throw that one in. I think summer is a really great time to experience touch because, you know, we're just, there's a, exposed to a lot more. We're not all bundled up in coats and scarves and toques. And I think with that, people often touch everything with their hands. So I think that would be a good summer challenge to touch things in other ways with other body parts. So, you know, you can walk in the sand in your bare feet or some grass or some stone. You can maybe pick something up and put it against your forehead or your cheek. And these are just places that I naturally like. I like to put my cheek up to a tree trunk. Or, you know, touch a smooth rock maybe to my forehead. And I like to press my back too up against a rock or a tree or something. So just try to experience touch in different ways than you would imagine. And just, you know, experience the sensation. And if it makes you connect to nature in a way that you hadn't really thought about before.
Well, there's the challenge, people getting out, and doesn't matter where they are. You know, it's land-based in a sense. I wonder if you can do the same thing if you go out and you're swimming all the time.
Right.
In a lake or a pool or the river, the same kinds of things, a lot of people don't want to touch the bottom.
Right.
So maybe they won't do that, but they could actually touch the rocks just under the surface, mm-hmm. or I don't know if you've been places where there's kelp growing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, even the water you're touching, right? So I've been in the lakes already. I was in the lake mid-May, which was very, very cold. So my legs and feet touched the water, but I stuck my hands in the water as well, or I stuck my arms in the water, or I picked up some water in my palms and kind of splashed it on my forehead. So I wanted to feel the water in other ways than just my feet and legs. So you could try that too if you're in water.
What was your first reaction when the first time this spring when you touched the water? What was your first reaction?
Well, I probably thought it was cold. But I was at the beach with a bunch of kids and we had been hot all day and we were pretty amped up. So I was ready to get in the water and play with them and have fun. So it was exciting.
Or everybody stepping in or getting up to your knees and the sound of
yeah.
The intake of all that breath and say, oh, well, well, that's good. But you said it wasn't really cold, so you got used to it quickly.
It was pretty cold, but we were running around having a lot of fun, and the kids really inspired me because it didn't seem to be bothering them at all. They had me playing tag, and of course I was it, and they knew that I wouldn't tag them if they got too far out in the water. So I wasn't going to go in too deep. So,
See, the kids learn from that.
Yeah, they did.
Oh, that's good. Well, that will be the challenge that we'll leave with people and see what happens. You know, the other thing, too, is when we're looking at going out, you have a lot of trees and grass and at the center, and you're going to have some people, well, like you said, last week was a poetry writing project you had. But then when you bring, these are young people of all ages, right? It's not just one age group, like...
This last group was adults, but I've primarily had lots of kids here for summer camps and things like that.
So do they get time to spend out there exploring what the grasses feel like, the tall grass, the short grass, as they go? Or, you know, even around the trees down mm-hmm. there? Or the difference between the shadow of a big tree and the shadow of some... smaller plants mm-hmm. or even shrubs. Do they get a chance to do that too?
Yeah, this last group did for sure. There was lots of time for exploration. And I know when I've had kids here, they kind of learn those things on their own without any guidance, right? Because if it's a hot day and you need to find shade, or you need to cool down, they have learned to go find shade, right? So they might not be registering exactly like which places are hot or in colder, but when they're overheating, they know to go get in some shade, right? And this was a field not that many years ago, and so there's still lots of prickles in the grass. So they know texture-wise where to walk and not walk if they're running around in their bare feet. And even the slabs of rocks here that we have sort of as like a front porch, I would say, or a front step, they get really hot in the sun. So maybe don't step on those rocks in your bare feet. It would be great this time of year because it's not too hot. So you might want to feel that, you know, on your feet, have your feet in the sun and touching a hot rock. But in the middle of summer, might be too hot, and that's not where you want to step. So there's lots of opportunity for exploration.
Yeah, just that self-awareness of the changes in the weather and the climate, and even putting a hat on and taking it off is,
yes,
is sort of a calming effect too when you're outdoors like that. Well, this is great. The other thing that has come up in the conversations, we've talked each time about snacks that could be taken along safely. And so what would you take for a summertime snack? I don't consider water for everybody a snack, so it's mandatory, especially as we get going in the warmer weather. But what kinds of snacks for the young people to think about, but also for adults going with them?
Well, that's a good question. I know, I have my go-tos, so I don't know if it's what everyone else would
Let's
like.
Let's go to it.
It would always be a granola bar of some sort, an apple. We love pepperettes, so there's always going to be a pepperette in there. If you have an ice pack with you, we could have cheese strings. I would say those would be my first four that I'm grabbing every time. And it depends on how far we're going and, you know, how strenuous it is. But you can throw in other types of nuts and seeds and dried fruit and things like that as well. I actually have a dehydrator at home that I use quite often in the summer. And I love dehydrated strawberries. They are, like, I'm not a huge fan of candy, but these dehydrated strawberries taste like candy. Like, and we just gobble them up. So that's been a... that's been a great hit. And dehydrated apples are really great too.
So how do you dehydrate strawberries?
I just slice them really thin and put them in my dehydrator.
How long does it take?
Everything takes at least a few hours. I think the strawberries are one of the quickest ones, maybe 4 hours. Bananas take a long time. I did do like tangerines once, and those were also good because I didn't dehydrate them all the way through. So there was a little pop of juice in the middle. And so that's great when you're on a hike, something like that.
Apricots. You know, you could get apricots, peaches. Can you dehydrate them?
I haven't yet. Yeah, but that would be a good one.
Okay, so that's throughout the season as we go through the summer into September. And there's all these tests. How big is the dehydrator?
I have one that has 5 trays to it. So... I don't know.
Like a dinner plate size, or is it bigger?
Maybe like a serving plate size. Oh, okay. Yeah, and then there's 5 layers to that. I know some people will use a very low heat on their oven and do it that way. And sometimes people have dehydrated things out, just leaving them out on their countertops to dry. That's more like herbs you can do that with pretty easily.
Okay, and then you don't have to worry about it freezing any of the fruits then. For taking along on a short trip, they're cool, they're moist, and that sort of thing as well, right?
Yeah, I quite often just store them in like a Ziploc bag or a little mason jar. That's been great for going camping to just throw it in all your stuff. But hikes, maybe a Ziploc bag is a better option.
Okay, well, that's the last word is going to go to you about summertime. And I think probably it's more along the lines of how to record something that people are going to do through the summer. How much information should we be collecting on a day-by-day base when we do hikes? Because we may want to go back to the same place.
I don't know. You'll maybe you can start me off on that. What would be one thing that you do?
Well, certainly the weather pattern that you're in at that time, you know, just in your, like, a journal, and keep a journal. And I know you've been working on an electronic version. Mm-hmm. And so we'll talk about that next time.
Okay.
But certainly, if you're going to go for, like, to the beach that yes. you took the kids before, and you're going to go back to it, you could look at your note. Mm-hmm. What worked, what didn't work.
Right.
That sort of thing. What would you suggest people do?
I think recording the temperature and the weather when you're there. Maybe an observation of, you know, something that caught your eye or maybe turned you off. Mm-hmm. And how you felt when you were there. I think those are some great points, because then when you're choosing your next sort of beach day or beach vacation, you can look at your notes and... you know, either challenge that experience by doing it again, or know that it'll probably be the same. And if you enjoyed it, then go back and enjoy it again.
And camping sites, thinking of people who may be going to camp overnight, either they have a camper or a tent or anything mm-hmm. like that. What are the quick things that come to mind about overnight staying in different places?
Well, I stay in a tent trailer quite often, and my big thing is I don't stay there when there's a really strong wind. That's the most dangerous for me. If it's raining or even a storm, we can you know, work it out to staying indoors. But a really strong wind, I think downed trees and limbs can be really dangerous. So that's the one condition that I don't camp out in. Most of the other ones we can get through. So that's my one observation about that.
That's a good idea. I think people can plan ahead and see what kind of weather patterns are coming into where they're going to be. Excellent. Well, Kristen, I really appreciate this, and we're going to be looking to see over the next few weeks what listeners to Aboriginal Voices have come up with about things that they feel when they're out there.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
That'll be fun. I can already tell you there, I know some people are going to try that one with sand and no towel.
Yeah.
Wet or not wet? Which yeah. one is it? Yeah. Good. All right. Thanks, Kristen. We'll talk to you later.
Take care.
Such a familiar time and space. I can't revisit the holes. Kind of dreamlike state. Can't remember it all. But if you're here to remind me lately, I'm not here for the fall. I'll be circling the drain. Got the chemicals to blame, but I'm breaking all these chains like a moth. Thank you.
this place. I'm seeing everything a different way. I'm just a hue of who I used to be, with your shadow hanging over me. There's part of me that blames myself for taking so long to climb my way out. But you are somebody different than camouflaging as a better man.
Fall out for if you call, I come roll. you fall now, fall. There's one thing that I know. If you rise, I'm rising. Rockin' the beat. All my fans think I got it all figured out, but lately, depression's what I'm thinking about. Yeah, I got a nice whip and a big ass house, but it don't mean shit without my mental health. And I've been crying out for help, praying to myself, I've been looking hella selfish. I just need a quick time out. I look at you and remember what this life's about. Don't ever forget your path, bro. You got so much life to live, so much value, so much spirit. Let them know. Speak it out. Don't hold that shit in, bro. Let's go.
There's one thing that I know. If you fall now, fall. There's one thing that I know. If you rise, I'm rising. If you call, I'll come running. If you call, I'll come running. And if you call, I'll come running. And if you call, I'll come running.
Your library, your story. At the Kingston Frontenac Public Library, books are just the beginning. A library card starts a lifelong adventure, connecting you to everything you need to inspire learning, creativity, and fun. With 16 locations and plenty of online services, using your library has never been easier. Study in a quiet space, meet friends and learn new things, or explore the world through a magazine or a museum pass. Become a part of our story. Visit your local library branch or find us online at kfpl.ca.
I've never met a dal I didn't like. If you are a fan of dal or lentil curry too, listen to The Dal Project on CFRC 101.9 FM, Thursdays from 5:30 to 6 p.m. Join me, Sayada, in learning to cook many kinds of dal or lentil curry from across the South Asian diaspora while talking about culture, migration, and memory.
Word that gets used a lot at a radio station is the verb broadcast, as in to broadcast. Ever wonder about the past and future tenses of that word? Are you tempted to say, I broadcasted my show, or my show will be broadcasted? Well, actually, most standard English dictionaries say that the past and future tenses of the word broadcast are exactly that, broadcast, and not broadcasted. So